This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We're live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You are listening to The Pulse, 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. And it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. We have a packed show today. We're going to be shortly meeting with Dan Sesney, one of the co-owners of Hippo Press. We're going to talk about different kinds of food. I think like some Nepalese food.
Yeah, he's a world traveler and a travel writer, and so a lot of his experience and pleasurable part of it is the food that he gets to try that most of us never will. And that we're just chatting here out in the green room a few moments ago, that you have to kind of be a little bit brave and be willing to grow up some to try some foods that maybe you're not comfortable, you know, even thinking about trying, versus saying, oh, heck with it, let's go to the Olive Garden here in Rome or whatever. So, but there are people that will do that, and that's why those places are there.
Okay.
But he also brought along a small sample of Nepalese trail mix.
Ooh, interesting.
Somewhat spicy, but you and I both enjoy spicy cuisine, so we'll be trying some of that. Many of our guests will bring us some food. That's never a requirement. Those that do, that's
great. They
get
extra points, though.
They get extra points, and especially yesterday, that vegan version of raspberry cheesecake.
You loved that.
Which was made with cashews instead of dairy
stuff. Yeah, it was just amazing.
Well, the guy's clearly, you know, Randy Clements, we're talking about, a clearly talented chef, as all of them are that we visit. I mean, it makes me feel, I don't want to say intimidated, but like so inadequate.
That I'm intimidated by them because I could never cook like that.
Well, you could, with you know, if you applied yourself and took the time to learn, you could.
I guess.
You could, yeah. You understand the basics of cooking.
I do.
Your family's very, you know, so you would do fine, but you choose to have other things in your life as opposed to doing that stuff.
I choose to do this, Mike. I'm going to show you.
Remember, we were talking
about plated the other day, so I wanted to bring you in. Now, when I made this the other night, it looked exactly like that.
Let me read that. Lemon and herb stuffed pollock with sauteed garlicky green beans and potatoes. And it's a very attractive looking plate.
Beautiful?
And by the way, it looks like a decent portion.
It is a decent portion. And this is plated, plated.com.
Yeah, there's another one you either just told me about or I heard about. Another company.
Blue Apron.
Yes. Yes.
Blue Apron. I'm trying Blue Apron tonight.
Oh, you are?
I am.
All right. So these, again, are prepackaged meals that come to your home that you actually do the final preparation on, correct?
You do the whole preparation.
The whole preparation. So you get all the parts and all the pieces you need.
It is all the separate ingredients.
Okay.
And they show you all picture by picture the steps. Like you'll get a whole onion. You have to peel it, chop it. You get the fresh herbs. You have to rinse them. Dry them, and then whatever you do.
So really, what's the point?
Step by step.
It just eliminates going to the store.
You know what it eliminates? And I'm going to tell you what it eliminates. And what it eliminates really well for Daryl and I is at the end, there is zero waste. You know when you buy like a bunch of cilantro and you buy a bunch of parsley and, you know, you use it for that one particular meal, for me anyway, you know, for us. And, you know, then if you don't use it in a few days, it's not good anymore, you know. And this has zero waste. And I think cost-wise, it's...
you know, that's actually a good way to look at it. See, I would never have thought that it's the cost aspect. Tomato shallot Gillette with goat cheese and herb salad.
Amazing.
It almost looks like just almost like a little pizza.
It is.
Of sorts.
And I'll tell you, it was so good. Daryl didn't really care for it.
No.
It's the first one that Daryl didn't care for.
Really? What did he not like about it?
I don't know. You know, honestly, I think he might have ate lunch a little late.
Oh.
And we had an appointment last night we had to go to. So I think that might have had a little something to do with it. But all of them have been just really, really good. Oh, this was another good one.
This is balsamic marinated grilled chicken and blue cheese and Americona almonds.
Marcona
it looks really
almond,
good.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
And all the step-by-step directions, you get everything separate. Now, today I received my Blue Apron box this morning.
Okay.
So Blue Apron is just like plated. And I wanted to check it out. And they have these promos. If you know, you're a first-time customer, you get two dinners free.
Yes.
So I wanted to compare it, and I did it to get two dinners free. whatever. That's
nothing wrong with that.
There isn't, right? So I got the Blue Apron box, which looked similar to the plated box, and I was all excited to open it. Daryl's like, another box? But anyway, so I opened it up, and now the difference I see so far, and I haven't even cooked it yet, when you get your plated box, everything is marked what is usually three dinners in it, three separate dinners, okay. two, and two. And they're marked what the dinners are, like balsamic marinated grilled chicken will be on the sticker.
Okay.
And in that bag will be most of your ingredients, all in a bag. So it's pretty simple. I mean, you take it out. You know, the meat, of course, is separate because the meats are all at the bottom with, you know, ice on top of them and stuff like that. And when I opened up the Blue Apron box, I opened it and I went, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Everything was, there's like our, just a red onion there, a lemon there, a package of, you know, parsley and verbena. And I mean, it was just, there was no mark on them.
So the presentation?
It said what it was.
Okay.
But not, you know, and as I started taking things out to put them in the fridge, you know, whereas with plated, I can kind of put the meals together. This, I have no idea because I really didn't have time to look at the cards and say, okay. You know, because
is it less expensive than plated?
It's pretty much the same.
About the same. I'm thinking, I mean, if they put a little less effort into it, then maybe they charge you less.
Nope. It was, you know, yeah, no, 16. 16 per meal.
16 per meal, so that's 8 per portion, right? So how much is it costing you per meal for the two of you?
16.
8 and 8. Basically, right? Eight,
yes.
$8 per person.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's pretty reasonable.
And that's the same price with Blue Apron as well. I'll have to check that to make sure. But my first, you know, I figured once I cook it and stuff, I'll give my full comparison. But anyway, so I didn't like that part of it so far. Now, tonight when I go to grab, you know, what I need for, you know, one of those meals, I'll see how it goes. And maybe it's not a big deal. That was my first impression.
Yeah, well, so first impressions count.
Yeah,
The bottom line is ease of preparation and taste. And you make a really good point about the lack of waste. I mean, you have
Zero. Just
what you need.
Exactly.
Unless you don't finish everything on your plate, but it doesn't look like they give you enough that you would just have a monstrous portion.
You know, it's not monstrous, and it tells you the calories of each serving. You know, and Daryl, of course, eats a little bit more than me, which works out great because I give him a little bit more of a portion, and I have a smaller portion, and it works out absolutely perfect.
Huh.
And that's the best thing I like about it.
Well, you know? See, I love the fact that you brought up the waste thing because I just would never consider ordering food like you're doing by mail. But then I look in my fridge and I see stuff that I bought that we never got into.
Exactly, and then you throw it away.
And you throw it away. And probably this is even more efficient in that respect.
I think that it is. When I think
it takes
about
planning, though.
For this?
Well, yeah. I mean, you need to...
Mike, you sit in front of the computer and you pick your meal.
But you're picking it days ahead. I usually day of make the meal decisions.
Yeah, but, you know, and we do this 3 times a week.
Okay.
You know, and, I, you know, there's usually not a whole lot to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can say if you're vegetarian or if you just want seafood, if you just... But with plated, they don't have a whole lot of variety, I see. And we like anything, so we don't have any checks on anything. We just get a variety of it all. And there's maybe 6 or 7 to choose from. There really isn't that many.
So what do the online ratings say? You know, I'm sure you must have looked ahead to see what people are saying.
I did. And, you know, I did that a little while ago. Mm-hmm. And plated was pretty good, although they did... Because they were on Shark Tank, and they had like a little, you know, a little scuff off with one of them. And I think that was probably when their ratings, you know, maybe went down a little bit, and they had a little few problems. When I read some of the reviews, it said, you know, when they opened up their box and they didn't get this ingredient or they didn't get that ingredient, that has never happened to me. And when you do read the reviews that say that, when they call or they email, they get it right away.
Sure.
Or, you know, I mean, but, you know, the only thing is if you're ready to make something that night and you find out then you don't have your ingredient, then you are up the, you know.
Yeah, without a paddle.
Right. So, you know, in that respect, I guess. Anyway, well, overall, I love it.
Speaking of ratings and you know, trying things out, critiquing things, was it last week or the week before that your dad brought in, well, you bought them, we tried out the lobster rolls. And so I've been doing a little checking up online to see what people are saying, because people can be pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
People are really brave when, you know, you don't know who they are, or you see a screen name and you don't know who they are, where they're from. You know, I kind of try to factor that in. Like when I was working at other radio stations and I would get some kind of a hate letter, if it wasn't signed, I didn't really take much stock in it. That's cowardice, you know?
Totally.
Exactly. So I'm just going to read some of the online. This is from a website called eater.com, which is an excellent website to just all things food. And it all has to do with the McDonald's lobster, which is a roll at $7.99.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe they're going to get beaten up here. Well, not so much. Well, it's a mix. One person says, I washed the taste out with a ridiculously sweet chocolate peanut butter salted caramel shake from the nearby Five Guys. It wasn't ideal, but it was the only thing I could think of to do in the moment.
Really?
So he didn't like it, obviously.
Now, hold on. Five Guys has caramel shakes like that?
Well, maybe this particular one they do.
Interesting.
All right. Oh, thank you, Bob. Ridiculously sweet chocolate peanut butter salted caramel shake. That really sounds good.
That sounds
so.
We're talking about the lobster roll, and I'm talking about the caramel salted caramel shake.
None for you, Carol.
That's right.
All right. Here's somebody else. Says, I had one over the weekend, and for $7.99, it was a lot better. It was better than a lot of other more expensive lobster rolls I've had. Far too much lettuce, and the bun was weirdly yeasty and cornmeal covered, but the actual lobster was plentiful, tasted fresh, and had a minimal amount of mayo. It tasted like lobster. It was even topped with a claw, which we noticed. They all get a claw, right?
Yep, they all
do. I'd happily grab another one at that price. Somebody else says, why? Just why? If McDonald's ever makes tacos in L.A., I'm going to protest. Clearly not a fan. Here's one. OMG. Did you really expect this to be the same quality as Maine lobster, freshly steamed? I've had some pretty awful lobster rolls at high-end restaurants, and I paid way more than $7.99. I would say this one looks half-decent, especially for the price. Don't be so freaking snobby. Jeez.
Good for them.
Another one. I don't know. If I had to choose between this and the Subway lobster sub, I think I might go with the McDonald's offering. A couple more here. Yeah, I'm not a fan of McDonald's, but I think you're being unnecessarily harsh on them. It's a $7.99 lobster roll from a fast food joint, not a $19 or whatever freshly cracked lobster with drawn butter.
There you go.
So, I mean, these people are actually, being logical. And finally, I've had this before about 10 years ago at the Manchester, New Hampshire airport and the Springfield Mass Turnpike. Then it was about $4.99, but looked about the same. Both times it was fine, and I'm just glad to be getting lobster from McDonald's. I would order one today for $7.99. So there it is, and I mean, I took the best ones there were,
yep.
But I would say that's a pretty good representation.
It is.
About a 50-50, like it, don't like it, and usually something like this gets killed online.
I really think, our view on it, I think, was pretty positive.
It was,
one of them in there said it had a lot of lettuce. Ours did not have a lot of lettuce.
Now, you didn't pick it out ahead of time
or
anything?
No.
So ours didn't come dressed with a whole lot of lettuce.
I hadn't even looked at it before, no.
Is that right?
No.
Because you went through at 10:30 in the morning from the drive-thru, got them, brought them into the station.
Dad did examine them upstairs because he weighed one of them. I mean, I bought three so that he could play with one of them.
Was it like 3.3 ounces of...
3.3,
right.
Yeah.
You got to know portion control. You're restaurant people.
Of course. Oh, my gosh. Everything has to be portioned. Definitely.
Right.
So
we need now to have a field trip. We need to send Dad out to get a chocolate peanut butter salted caramel shake.
No kidding.
From Five Guys.
What the heck?
What's the nearest one? South Willow?
South Willow. And I know Court. I know the owner. And, I think, did we talk about this before? We got to get him on the show.
Well, we'd love to have him on the show.
For sure. I'm going to make that note right now.
Okay.
I'll actually text him during the break.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
When Carol gets something going, she does it. She takes care of business.
I try to.
I was thinking, though, McDonald's, that's probably the most expensive thing on their menu, $7.99.
It must be.
I would guess.
It must be.
And
although, McDonald's prices have gone up. I mean,
you
go now. Not that I go, but I've heard this through people.
Yeah.
That when you go, it can be kind of expensive.
Well, like everything else.
Yeah, but I think that's probably must be the most
And I'm
expensive.
Thinking back to when I worked at McDonald's in 1970, 71. The most expensive item that I can recall, because I have the whole menu memorized, was a Big Mac back then, 45 years ago, was 45 cents.
Oh, my gosh. That is so... Isn't that hilarious?
I don't know what they are now, because honestly, I haven't had a Mac probably in 30 years. I liked them then. I probably would like it now, but you just steer away from fast food in general as you get older,
yes,
because it's just a little bit harder to get rid of the effects of empty calories.
For sure.
But their stuff's tasty. I'm not going to be a snob about McDonald's. I loved working at it in college. I did.
I can see.
I loved it with my little paper hat. I looked like I was 9 years old. Honest to God, Carol, I looked so young then. And I don't have any pictures. Well, I have pictures of my, I have my college ID card from that year that I need to bring it in and show you.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Please do.
Okay.
Please do.
I was just going to say, please don't.
No, please do. I'd like to see that. But just before we go into break, when you walk into the Red Air Diner Manchester location, I have a menu dated back to 1930.
Awesome.
It's an original menu that I, well, I, the one that's hanging is a copy, but I have the original framed at my house. And it's, you should see the prices on it. They're like a nickel and 10 cents. I think the number one hot hamburger sandwich with potatoes and green beans is like 28 cents or something.
My God.
It's like crazy.
So you need
pretty cool.
Well, I know what big anniversary you have coming up. What?
30 years for me.
30 years for you.
Owning it.
So, but for the restaurant itself, 1922. So in 2022, you need to do a promotion where everything is the price of 100 years ago.
Be very cool.
You'll take a big hit, but boy, will you get
It'll
the publicity. And you're really good at finding the things that kind of the press likes to hear about.
It'll be fun. So,
cool.
We did talk about that. So,
All right.
I think we need to go on a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Dan Cesney, one of the co-owners of Hippo Press. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on this beautiful Tuesday. It is July, so let's not complain about the heat, listeners. And we are in studio with Dan Cesney, co-owner of Hippo Press. Welcome, Dan, to Food for Thought.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Very happy to have you here.
Couldn't be more thrilled.
Good.
Well, Dan is also, in addition to being one of the three founders of the Hippo Press and continues to be one of the owners, he has written a number of books, The Adventures of Buffalo and Tough Cookie, The Nepal Chronicles, and Sing, and other short stories. And I know there's a fourth one either about to come out or you are signed up to do.
Signed up to do. June 2016. It's called Mosquito Rain, Alaskan Travel Essays. So it's a book of travel essays on Alaska.
How much time did you spend in Alaska?
We spent about 3 weeks up there.
Yeah, and you got enough material for a book.
Huh? And I got enough material. We covered about almost 3,000 miles in 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we didn't stay. We didn't sleep in a hotel the entire time we were there.
So it was all either in your car,
either on
or
the
a
ground,
tent?
Or on the or in the car, or in Walmart parking lots.
All right. So you would be doing that now with a 7 month old?
Yeah. So she's Uma? Seven. Yeah, she's 7 this month, and so in October, we're going to India, Nepal, and Turkey, and we're bringing her along. So she'll be 10 months.
You imagine that? Her passport will have those countries stamped already before she's 1 year
she's
old.
She's already been to 5 states.
She really?
That's awesome. Yeah. What is her name?
Uma.
Uma.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's pretty.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, she's very socialized. She loves being outside, and we're trying to get her out as much as we can. You know, if you're going to be in an airplane for 12 hours and then on a train in India for 15 hours, she better like people.
Yeah,
all right.
Right.
So she's going to meet her grandmother in northern India.
Her great-grandmother.
Her great-grandmother. Yeah. So what is the travel scenario for that?
Oh, boy. Her great-grandmother lives about 20 miles south of the Nepal border. And so we're going to fly to Chicago. From Chicago, we're going to fly to and transfer in Turkey to Delhi, and then from Delhi we're going to take a what should amount to be about 13 to 15 hour train ride to a town called Ramnagar, and from Ramnagar we're going to take about a 2 hour car ride to get to her farm. It's a sugar farm that her grandmother owns and works, and that's where we're going to stay.
All right, so I've seen Anthony Bourdain taking train rides through India, or maybe it was some other place in Southeast Asia, that looked terrifying. Is this the type of transportation?
No. Well, yes and no. Like here, you can take third class and second class and first class, and there's nicer cars. And we're getting a car with a sleeper car, so we'll all be able to be in the same. We won't be hanging off the side of the train like you see. there won't be chickens and cows in the aisles where we're going to be staying. But that does exist.
Yeah. But I sense that wouldn't bother you. But you just want to, you know, want to take
me,
a 10-month-old.
No, me, it wouldn't bother
at
all.
See, that's kind of your thing.
Yeah, when Mina and I travel, it's, you know, we go the cheapest, most craziest route. But, well, you know, and we're going to have her parents. My in-laws are going to be with us, too. So between the four of us, we'll be able to take care of the baby. But we're not, you know, we're not going the cheap route.
Okay,
it's going to be hard enough to have the baby on the train for 15 hours. So.
Sure, and we should point out that that you also are involved with something called Modern Dad. You are a father who had your first child a little bit later than many of us have, and so you've been able to write some interesting perspectives on that position.
Yeah, I'm working for I do an occasional column for an online website called Good Men Project, and I write about you know, the challenges and different perspectives of being an older dad, and I don't think it's terribly challenging. Maybe I will in 15 years when she's a teenager and I'm retired.
Yeah, but you're not that. You're not.
How old do you think I am?
Oh, I don't.
See, you brought it up, so now you have to guess.
I know. I mean, maybe 38.
I'm 49.
Really?
Yeah, it's all that. It's all that healthy travel and
there you go.
And good eating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she'll be when she turns 13, I'll be 62.
Uh huh.
Well, Daryl wants to have a child.
But you know,
whoa! This is breaking news. Hold on. Hate to eat into your time here.
No,
this
go
is
right
first
ahead.
Time
no,
hearing
please,
you.
Please.
This is true.
Well, the question is, what about you?
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't want to force any answers out of you here, but
we've been talking about that. It's just funny because he's 49 also. I'm 51 though, so. Yeah.
Oh.
But anyway, go on.
It's a whole different perspective. You should totally do it. You should totally do it.
Get your fan out, Carol.
You're more settled. You're wiser.
I hope Daryl's not listening.
And you know what the important thing part about it is? You have more patience.
Now?
Yeah, I have way more patience now than when I was 20 or 25.
But I have grandkids, Dan, and I'm not good.
You're not good. You're not a good grandma? Is that what you're saying? Did you just say that?
You're
not a good grandma?
She does. You can say what you want about Carol. She is honest.
You know, I work. I work. I oh boy.
Well, anyway, we'll let you extricate
yourself.
Dan,
it's all about you now. Let's go.
Okay. All right.
So,
okay.
So the Nepal Chronicles, was that as a result of having met your wife, Nina, who is from Nepal? And did you meet her while you were traveling here? How did you two get together?
Yeah, she's Nepalese born. She was born in Kathmandu and moved to Chicago when she was 12. So she was born in Nepal, raised in Chicago. And we actually met while I was the editor of the Hippo back in the early 2000s. It was 2001, 2002. And she's a planner, and she got a job in the planning department here in Manchester. And our office was right down the street, three blocks away. And when I was the editor there, I was always looking for stories to write and for the paper. So I was always in City Hall. And, you know, my partner, you know, Jody and Jeff, they said that from the moment that I met her in City Hall, the only thing that the Hippo ran for about 3 months was planning stories.
That's so cool.
Is that true?
Because I kept finding a reason to go back and to go back and
I
to go back.
So love the honesty.
So long did it take for you to ask her on a date?
Oh, my gosh.
Third story, fourth story.
After a while, she probably got pretty suspicious. Wow, here's a weird interest in planning.
Yeah,
it wasn't actually long. We went on a trolley. We went on, you know, they do the
trolley
tour.
Tour.
And that's not really a date. That's like one of those. Hey, there's this thing happening, and I'm gonna go and let's go ride this trolley. It wasn't really a date. It was just like we're gonna go hang out together. You know, do people date now? Is there such a thing as dating anymore?
Oh yes,
like dating.
Oh yeah. I think so.
Okay. Well, it's been so long, I don't remember.
Yeah.
But that's how we met, and that's how we went out. And then when the time came for us to get married, it was actually, because, you know, we're older when we were married, so it wasn't that big of a deal for us. We were going to, like, elope or go to Vegas or some such thing, or have something small. And her father, my father-in-law, actually is the one who came to me and said, would you be interested in going to Nepal and having a traditional...
Oh, I thought you said he was going to ask you if you should be interested
no,
in marrying
Nina. No.
Going to arrange marriage.
I'm the one who asked him that.
Okay.
No, and if we would be interested in going to Nepal and taking part in a traditional Nepalese wedding ceremony. And I thought about that for about you know, a half a second. And I said, my gosh, of course, that would be an amazing experience. And it was. So we were married in Kathmandu.
What year?
2010.
Oh, so yeah.
So
coming up on our fifth anniversary.
You're a newlywed.
Yeah. Five years. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That is
fantastic
cool.
story.
So
that
off we
is.
Went. And we went, we were married there and spent some time in Kathmandu. And then for our honeymoon, we trekked in, we went to the Himalayas. We were unguided and unportered. So we lived with the Sherpa tea houses and Sherpa homes. And we trekked the Mount Everest Base Camp. And that was our honeymoon. And she says I still owe her a beach honeymoon.
A beach honeymoon?
Yeah. I'm with her.
But she would be bored.
Yeah. Wow. So what was the space camp or the...
Base camp. Mount Everest
I'm
Base
sorry,
Camp.
Base yeah. camp. Right. And what altitude is that?
17,500 feet.
That's, you know...
And then we climbed, because you can't see Mount Everest from base camp. So we climbed a mountain called Kalapathar, which in Nepalese means black rock. To get views of Mount Everest, and that was 18,352 feet. That was the highest that we went.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it was an amazing experience. So that's what Nepal Chronicles came out of that.
And you're a hiker. I mean, you hike every chance you can.
Yes, since until the new baby came into our lives. And now I just hike to the changing table. But
yeah. Right. Well, you know, this is a show about food, but we got sidetracked because your story is a very interesting one.
Well, food, you know, food plays to me anyway, a crucial role in travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't imagine, I can't imagine going to Paris and food not being part of
exactly.
that experience.
That's the extreme example. I mean, that's one of the best places to go for food. Where's the worst place for food?
Worcester?
Worcester.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, all you Worcester listeners. There's some wonderful diners down there.
There's many diners down there.
Where's the worst place that I've ever gone for food? Alaska has the food in Alaska is really good, but it's really expensive. You're gonna have the best salmon you've ever eaten, but it's gonna cost you.
Even though it just came out of
even
the lake
though it came
or the river.
Right out, and I think part of it is delivery expenses. Part of it is because of that, because it's so stream fresh, and part of it is because it's not that easy to get around in Alaska and to get food to different restaurants and so forth. So that was very expensive. Quebec City, I'm not a big fan. I'm a fan of Quebec City, but I'm not a big fan of the food.
Wow.
In Quebec.
I don't have nearly the perspective you do, but Quebec City, I couldn't find a bad meal if I tried.
Yeah, but it's so expensive, and it's just, what I look for, the first thing that I look for when I travel is a hole-in-the-wall taco joint.
Okay.
And
all right. No, I get that.
You know, and this is part of the reason why we've never moved to Concord. There's nothing hole-in-the-wall up there. You're right. The food in Quebec City is good, but there's no like down home cooking. There's no like basement.
Well, I think there is if you get
club.
Out to the outlying
I guess
areas, you're going to find
some of the
that
outlying areas,
because the further out you get from Quebec City, the fewer people that speak English.
That's true.
And you start to see a little bit more authentic French, you know, Francophile life.
Yeah, that's true.
So around here,
yes.
You know, like when I travel, I like you, I like looking for the hole-in-the-wall diners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
me too.
Everywhere we travel. It's like, where are the diners? So around here, where is your go-to place for tacos? I'm dying to find out.
El Rincon, right across from
here.
Horizon, is delicious. And there is
the
Guadalupe. The taco, there's a taco joint up on Valley Street.
Oh, yeah.
It's a sort of crazy blue-built, scary-looking building.
Yep,
they're really delicious there. And Consuelos. We love Consuelos.
Like
everybody
Consuelos
loves Consuelos.
Too. I love Consuelos soup, too, there.
Yeah.
The tortilla soup.
Yes.
That's
my wife's favorite.
Yes,
yeah.
I love
so that's,
that.
So those are our three
okay.
big taco joints.
Okay.
We love taco joints. We have Taco Tuesdays with the baby.
You do?
We can go out and have tacos. Yeah.
What salad? Well, I have a grandson who's a month older than Uma. So solid foods have been introduced now for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Native Nepalese food that she's tried yet?
Dal, rice and dal. She loves rice and dal. Dal is like lentils. It can be made into a mush or a soup. It can be made as with any consistency you want. And, you know, there's different types of lentils, so it can be different flavors and so forth. So she loves that. She had her first momos.
It
was mushed up. The subtitle of Nepal Chronicles is Marriage, Mountains, and Momos in the Highest Place on Earth. And a momo is every culture has a momo equivalent. In Poland, it would be a pierogi. And in Italy, it would be gnocchi, ravioli or gnocchi.
Right.
In China, it would be a dumpling. So it's a wrapped dough with some sort of filling in it, and usually steamed. In Nepal, it's big with steaming. And it could be anything but beef in Nepal because they don't eat beef. But mostly vegetarian and chicken are the most popular.
Well, my friend Heather just posted on Facebook. She was at Momo Cafe, and she had some momos.
Yeah, Cafe Momo, which, by the way, was open about all. My wife's aunt and uncle started Cafe Momo.
Okay, they
don't own it anymore, but they're the ones who actually found it. It is very popular. It's really tasty.
Near the highway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's right.
Hanover
it's
Street,
right on the off
right.
the exit. Yeah.
Right.
We should take a break.
Ooh, geez, yeah.
Yeah, this
I
is
guess.
This
Whoops.
Is so much fun.
I'm getting into all this food talk. I love it. You're listening to Food for Thought. We are in studio with Dan Cesney, one of the owners of Hippo Press. We're talking food and travel. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Oh.
Wow. I haven't been to Scotland.
Listen to that.
Well, maybe you should.
Yeah.
Wow. This is some bumper music we haven't heard before.
I know. I think it must be, because of our guests, I'm sure.
I would guess. Grasshoppers Garden Center is one of our sponsors on North River Road in New Boston. And Mama McDonough's Irish Pub, 5 Depot Street in Hillsborough. So very nice. All right, so we just have about 5 minutes left, and we haven't talked as much about food as we probably should. Yeah,
it does go fast.
But Dan did bring a sample of this is trail mix, Nepalese trail mix.
It's Nepalese trail mix. It was made by my mother-in-law. So there are some secret spices in here which she doesn't tell anyone about. But basically, it's peanuts, shoestring potatoes, flathead rice, a bunch of different lentils, ginger, and chili peppers.
Oh, my.
And you can eat it raw or you can roast it. Now, I like it roasted, but it's very salty. And we eat this now, like in the White Mountains or wherever when we're trekking. And it's a lot of carbs and salt. I brought one gigantic chili pepper for Mike
to tempt
take.
Me, right?
There you go.
Well,
give it a try. See if you like it.
Just put my hand in here.
Well, when I looked, I'm like, are those like potato sticks in there?
Yeah. Yeah, just shoestring potatoes. That's
is
it.
Is this cool.
A coconut, too?
Yeah, a little bit of coconut in
wanna,
there.
You want to try some coconut?
All sorts of interesting spices, and they roast it, and it's pretty good. Mm. But it's good when you're walking. It's easy to make,
and it is spicy,
and it's very spicy.
Mm. It sneaks up on you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Really, really
good,
tasty.
Right? And it's so simple.
I was hesitant to try it because I do not like coconut.
Mm.
But the coconut is actually pretty subtle.
Yeah, it's very.
Yeah, you really can't get much.
It's nice and spicy. Oh my gosh, I love that.
And like, like all good food, it's simple.
So this is Nepalese trail mix.
It's Nepalese trail mix, yeah. Made by my mother-in-law.
Wow.
So, hi, Mom.
Really, really good, Dan.
Tell her
and Mom.
Thank you.
It's
so good.
Mm. Are they listening in Chicago?
Well, I posted. They usually listen to everything that I say or that I do. And they shake their heads and click their tongues. So... I'm sure they will. They are
delicious.
Or will.
I really like it.
Yeah. Good. Mm. Next time I'll bring momos.
Okay. Mm. So you're heading off to parts of, Middle East, Turkey.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to
India,
Turkey
and Nepal.
India,
how long will you
Nepal.
Be in your wife's mother country?
We're going to be in India for a couple of weeks. We're going to be in Nepal for a week, and then we'll be in Turkey for just a little under
You're
a
looking
week.
Forward to Turkey, aren't you?
I really am looking forward to
Have
going
you been
to Istanbul.
There?
No, I've never been there, but it seems like such an amazing place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get some Turkish delight, which I understand is Turkish sweets. It's like candy.
Really?
It's supposed to be great, but I've never had it before. So that's
so
the first
Turkish
thing that I'm going
to go. Delight?
Yeah, it's called Turkish Delight. It's candy. It's like...
Turkish taffy, maybe? Or
yeah, it's like Hershey's. It's like...
It's
like cocoa candy.
I think Dan needs to bring us some back
so we can
test it out.
When I come back, I'll bring a whole bunch of stuff for you when I come back, and we can have a big... I'll bring back all desserts and sweets. We'll have a big sweets.
Well, we need to reconvene when you return, or
that would be good.
Or at one time during your trip, if we could synchronize to talk
cool
to you.
If we could do that.
I'm not sure how is the cell service in Kathmandu.
Well, it depends. At the farm, it would be rough. In Kathmandu, though, it's a big major metropolis. It shouldn't be a problem.
Sure.
They're, I think, six, eight hours ahead.
Okay.
So
we're talking 7, 8 o'clock at night.
So yeah, we can figure that out.
My sister-in-law, have you heard of the El Camino Walk? Santiago.
Yeah, in Spain. Yeah. It's called The Way.
The Way. My sister-in-law's on it right now. She's last 500 miles. They've been walking
for
the past 4 weeks.
I'd love to do that. One of these days I'll do that. I've been to Barcelona and Madrid. The food in Madrid is unbelievable. And the Gibraltar. Gibraltar is an amazing place. And I climbed the Rock of Gibraltar.
Oh, you did?
That's a story for another time. Yeah.
Right.
Cool. Yeah, we talked about
there's big wild monkeys
week.
Up there.
Cool. So what I have to find out is what inspired Bob Seger or whoever wrote Kathmandu? I don't even know if he wrote it. Probably not. Probably somebody else did.
Yeah, probably somebody else. I'm not sure what it I think it was
what a random
that's
song.
What I really, really want to do. I think he was just looking for something to rhyme with
rhyme.
I think I'm going to Timbuktu. I'm trying to think of what other rhymes with that. But it's in the 70s. In the 60s, Kathmandu was one of those big hippie places. That's where a lot of hippies, because the yogis were there and the meditation and all that stuff. So that was a big.
What is it known for now? Or is there an industry or is it more tourism?
It's still a rural agricultural society. The first time I went to Kathmandu, I'd never been to Asia. This is the first time I'd been to Asia. And we got on a plane. We went from New York to Hong Kong, and then Hong Kong to Dhaka, Bangladesh, and then Bangladesh to Kathmandu. And our plane actually had some electrical problems, and it's a whole story. And it ended up turning us around and going back to Hong Kong. So we spent a few days in Hong Kong. So Hong Kong is the city of the future. It's trains that talk to you, and it's clean, and it's just this it's like a George Jetson city. It's spectacular.
Seriously.
And you get on a plane, and you fly 5 hours to Kathmandu, and you get off the plane in Kathmandu, and it's like going back in time 100 years. But now, Kathmandu is an ancient city. What it has is that it's a country and a city that's never been colonized. It's never been conquered. It is as it was 2,000 years ago. And there's, Durbar Square, which is the Times Square of Kathmandu, is a 2,000-year-old square.
Oh, my gosh. That must be cool.
And it's amazing. And part of the reason why I'm going back in October is to look at the earthquake damage and to see what's happened, because parts of these ancient temples that are 600 and 700 years old are now rubble. So, if you're really looking for that, so I think especially for a lot of Westerners, if you were looking to reconnect with that sort of mysticism and ancient civilization, and that Kathmandu is very appealing.
How is the rebuilding going as far as you know?
Yeah, it's hard. And some places is good, some places is not. It depends on the company. There's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of government corruption. And there's a lot of individual corruption. Just to give you a micro, the Red Cross, which is a great, if you want to contribute to anybody, contribute to the Red Cross. They sent a bunch of tents to Kathmandu. They hired a guy. Whoops.
That's right. You got about 40 seconds to wrap it up.
They hired a guy to bring the tents to the center of town, and somewhere between the airport and the center of town, the tents went missing because the guy sold them all. So that's pretty typical. Yeah. But we'll talk more about it later.
Well, we will have you back, of course.
Interesting.
And
yeah.
I'll connect with you at some point to try to, synchronize.
Yeah, we can.
And,
I would love to do that.
Visit by phone.
Yeah. That'd I'm so thrilled that you guys had me.
Thank you.
Awesome.
We are too.
Great. That was awesome.
Yeah, we could easily have done another hour.
Hey, I don't have anything going on.
Well, you have to push Clayton out of the way. That's a tough
Clayton.
One.
No, okay. I'm opening for Clayton. Story of my life. Okay.
All right.
Up next, John Clayton. Stay tuned. Poop Thought will be right back.